11:40 on Fridays during football season, though, mean Roddy Nabalson joins the show from UGASports.com. He picks his walk up every single Friday. It always relates to the football game, and we're happy to welcome him back for another year. We've been talking to Roddy for years leading into Georgia football games, and this year will be no different. Roddy, how are you?
What up, Rod?
Doing fantastic, gentlemen. Fantastic. Excited that another year's here. Number 32 for me covering the Georgia Bulldogs. So.
Good for you. That's great.
Fun times.
And it should – look, it should be a fun one, obviously. Yeah. A lot of question marks, of course, with turnover and new quarterbacks and stuff. When you think about the question marks, and we'll start to learn about some of them tomorrow, what are some of the things that you're hoping to learn about that you don't know about right now, tomorrow?
I'd like to know that Georgia can run the ball. I mean, we can talk about Gunnar Stockton until the cows come home. And the guy, he actually has cows. He knows when they come home. But this is a kid that, you know, he's an absolute leader. He's a warrior. But what does that win you football games? I mean, you could have buy-in from your whole team who loves you to death. But if you can't get it done, then you can't get it done. And you know, losing Carson Beck is a blow. He's a very talented quarterback. He's going to be a high-round draft pick. And you're replacing him with a guy who has a little bit slower release and maybe not the arm that Gunner does, but his teammates love him. But you want to, what would make it fantastically easier for Carson, I mean, for Gunner Stockton to have a big year, a solid run game.
Right.
You know, that just being able to get that third and one, that third and two, getting those chunk plays where you're not, I mean, last year's the offense felt like it was a struggle every time they had the ball sometimes. And if you have a strong run game where Nate Frazier just picked up 17 yards and you were on your 30 and now you're on the 47, now you're playing with house money, and it frees up Mike Bobo to do more. It frees up the wide receivers, and if they can run the ball. And on the flip side, can Georgia stop the run? There were times that the defense couldn't get off the field. We can complain about Mike Bobo and screen passes and all the false narratives that are out there about Georgia's offense last year, but the defense did not hold up their end of the bargain because they couldn't tackle. They couldn't stop the run. And when you got teams coming in here keeping your offense on the sideline, that's not Georgia football. That's not Kirby Smart football. Three and outs, that's what I need to see from Georgia tomorrow.
Rod, who's going to be those five guys? I mean, we're playing Marshall tomorrow, so a lot of guys are going to play. But if you had to say who the starting five are going to be, I know Bobo's going to be in the middle, but who are going to be the guys to his flank?
Yeah, Monroe Freeling and Ernest Green. This should be a big year for Ernest Green. Remember, he came in and started at that left tackle spot. Now he's at the right tackle spot. Monroe Freeling should be a left tackle. You know, he was when he came in for Ernest Green last year, he did great. But then all everyone talks about is how poorly he looked in the Notre Dame game. And I'm like, hey, well, you know, that's you can have a bad game.
Right.
But Ernest, this is his money year. This is the year he's got to prove that he's the guy. So I expect a big year from him. I expect Monroe Freeling. You know, he's heard about how poorly he played for 9 months now. He's going to go out there and try to kill somebody. Then you got Micah Morris, a left guard, who's maybe one of the strongest guys in college football. He's definitely the strongest guy on the team, which puts him at the top of the the whole league. Mm-hmm. And then at right guard, you've got three different guys going for it. But I want you to learn the name Juan Gaston. A true freshman. Mm-hmm. This is a big kid. He is, I think he's going to start. I predicted, Monday or Tuesday that this kid was, or maybe it's Sunday, that kid's going to get the start. And if you got to think about it, there's not a lot of true freshmen that come into a Kirby Smart team in the trenches and get the start in game one. I mean, it's pretty rare. You have to go back to Tate Ratledge against Clemson. And of course, he got hurt right away. So it's, if Juan Gaston gets in, and he's huge, that is a big boy. So, that you should be able to run behind that line. The tight ends need to block better, but that offensive line should at least get you your foundation.
Roddy, where do you think they're the deepest?
Oh, inside linebacker, no question. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're six deep there. It's mind-boggling what sort of inside linebacker group they have. When you have Justin Williams and Chris Cole and guys like that waiting in the wings, you know, Anthony Crua. I mean, you're just loaded at inside linebacker. And to me, the question is, who's the better one? Is it C.J. Allen or Raylan Wilson? I think Raylan Wilson will have a big day tomorrow. C.J. Allen is maybe a little banged up. I don't know how much he's going to play tomorrow. But inside linebacker group, you're going to get that Quay Walker, you know, N'Kobe Dean type feel at inside linebacker this year.
All right.
What about that D-line, Rob? Because that was one of the deeper units. That's where we won championships because of it. Also who those dudes were on the defensive line. But, I mean, there are a lot of unproven, unknown guys on that front.
Yeah, well, when you said what are the questions, that was my first one is kind of, you know, position-wise, defensive line, and you know, and who's the other safety going to be? But the defensive line, I mean, Jordan Hall is a five-star guy. He's supposed to be, you know, all-world, but he's been injured 2 years in a row. Christian Miller is that guy. Christian's special. He is so fast. He's so light on his feet. He's going to be a superstar. Xavier McLeod, the transfer from South Carolina, was playing great towards the end of the year. He can come on. Got Elijah Griffin, another five-star guy right there in the center who's, again, but a true freshman, but that's another five-star. So, you know, amongst those guys, you kind of expect it, but also don't forget J.J. Haney, the kid originally from Germany. He's a true freshman. So if Griffin and Haney can come in and Jordan Hall lives up to all of his billing that we've been expecting him to, and we got to speak to him early in the week. He's an absolute leader. I tell people to go to UGA Sports, watch the video of Jordan Hall talking about the team. That is definitely a guy you can get behind, and he is so hungry to go out there. It's been so long since he's been able to play at the level that he wants to. If he has a good time, you know, a good game, and then all of a sudden you got Christian Miller and McLeod spelling those guys and the freshmen getting rotated in, you could – I'm not saying you're going to get back to, you know, Devontae White and Jordan Davis and those guys. Mm-hmm. There'll never be another Jalen Carter. But you should be able to stop the gaps, keep those linebackers clear, and give Glenn Schumann time to dial up some fun stuff.
Roddy Nabalsi joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy from UGASports.com. Getting ready for Georgia and Marshall tomorrow afternoon. You just said a bunch of names there on the defensive line, so maybe one of those guys is the answer to this question. Maybe not, though. A name that maybe like the casual Georgia fan doesn't know as well, that they will know very well by Halloween.
Well, I'm going to go with I want to go with Jordan Hall, but he's a five star. So how do you do that one? Let's go with Xavier McLeod, the transfer.
Okay.
I just think there's something about that guy that you know, he didn't play a whole lot last year until, you know, towards the end of the season. And that is a guy who he's got the size, he's got the hand fighting, the, you know, the moves. That could be the guy. And also Chris Cole. Again, I hate to point out a guy that's, you know, was a very highly touted recruit, but you haven't seen him play a whole lot. But Chris Cole, I think the reason Damon Wilson transferred to Missouri, well, hey, of course, you have the, you know, it's free agency after every season, and there's NIL out there. But Damon Wilson was supposed, you know, he was going to step in and be the guy. And I think that he was told, or he and his entourage felt, that Chris Cole might get more of those Jalen Walker snaps from last year. You know, Jalen Walker playing inside, outside, just being that disruptive third down force for years. And I think that Chris Cole, even though he's behind him in, you know, years, has such a bright future ahead of him that I think people are going to be buying Chris Cole jerseys and maybe Justin Williams.
Brian, this time last year when we had you on, Andy asked you the question, I'll ask it. Nobody was talking about these receivers. You didn't hear a lot about the receivers talking about last year as far as praising. Now you're hearing about all the guys that are coming in. What do we need to know about his receiving core? Because it seems to me you still have Dylan Bell. These guys can go back to their normal type of allotment instead of having them be a frontline guy, but you did go out and make some big splashes in the portal for these receivers.
The best thing that I heard was in the second scrimmage, the Georgia wide receivers caught a ton of contested catches. There were contested balls thrown, and those guys came away with it. That did not happen last year. In fact, they led the nation in drops. Just catching the ball would be a nice improvement. I mean, they have nowhere to go but up. But going into last year, in the summer, they expected Ra-Ra Thomas and Colby Young to be their top two receivers. Ra-Ra's off the team. Colby only plays a few games before he has his issues. And they're without the two guys they expected to be their leaders. They knew Dom Lovett was going to be big, you know, and Arian Smith, who also had a very good senior year, but Arian had not showed much to that point, and Dylan Bell, of course. But now you got Dylan Bell coming back, and he can do everything. Colby Young is going to be a superstar. Noah Thomas is a big, you know, 6'4" wide receiver, led Texas A&M. He's having a big year. London Humphreys is the guy everybody forgets about. And then you bring in Zachariah Branch to play the slot, who he does have some drops, but there's probably not a faster kid on the team, you know, just lightning in a bottle. When you get him in space, you're not going to touch him. So we're hearing a lot of great things about this wide receiver core. And again, it's preseason. Everybody's, you know, going to win the national championship. But the fact that they were catching contested passes against good cornerbacks, good safeties, you know, good in coverage, that would have me as a Georgia fan more enthusiastic than, you know, pedigree or stats from last year.
What do you expect it to look like just with the way that they kind of deploy Gunnar Stockton in these first couple of games, what they ask him to do, maybe what they don't ask him to do? Like, what's a successful afternoon tomorrow look like for Gunnar Stockton?
Protect the ball, get them into the right plays based on the defense, and you're not sure what you're going to see from Marshall. So it's going to be a great test for Gunnar, because he's not sure what formations he's going to see. He's not going to see what coverages are going to be out there. So it's going to be a learn-on-the-fly test from him. So he's got to get them into the right plays. He's got to protect the football, and he's got to I don't want him to be in the first game out there running around and getting hit. I don't think that's a great idea. But make the other team cognizant of the fact that, you know, he might keep it once or twice. You know, make them, because everyone knew Carson wasn't going to run.
Right.
And the backside guys, and you know, you were never worried about him keeping the ball. So the defense cheated. And that's exactly what I would call up as a defensive coordinator. I'm like, don't worry about him keeping it. He's never going to keep it. And the couple times he did, he gashed teams. Well, Gunnar likes to keep the ball. He loves to run it. So this, you know, puts it on tape that Tennessee has to deal with. And no, that's not a shot against Austin Peay, but, sure, you know, let him get comfortable running the offense. Let him score, you know, a few touchdowns, then get the hell out of there. And, you know, bring in Gunnar Puglisi.
What about my boys, man, that tight end position? I always want to, because you know how I feel about Lawson Lucky. Oscar Delp's back, but how's that group going to look?
Well, I mean, another group, when you ask me who is the deepest group, my other thought was the tight end group, because behind them you have Jaden Riddell and Colton Heinrich, who are really talented players who we barely saw last year. You know, Heinrich was hurt. I think Riddell got banged up a little bit too. And then you've got Elias Williams, 6'7", you know, put on some weight. He's the next Darnell Washington looking dude. And Ethan Barber, who's a heck of a receiver. I mean, that's a guy you could just say, hey, look, we're not going to make him a tight end. We're just going to make him a big wide receiver. And they can catch, they can block. So you were six deep at the tight end spot. I actually asked Todd Hartley about, like, hey, what about running 13 or 14 personnel? He's like, I got a hat that says run the 13 personnel on it. I'm like, okay. So here's the thing. The tight ends and the wide receivers are actually fighting for those groupings. The tight ends are going out there trying to prove that they need to be in 12 personnel more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And the wide receivers are going, no, we got this. We're going five wide. We don't need you guys. So,
well, Roddy, we appreciate it, man. Great start to the year. Thanks, we look forward to every Friday. Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate my boy.